Welcome to another podcast sermon by Northside Christian Church. It is our desire that you will be inspired and challenged in your faith. For more information about our church, please visit northsidecc.org.au.
Have you ever found that something can come at you left field? You can play by the rules, you can do everything right, and yet a storm wages against you. And it can steal our joy. If ever there was a man in the Bible that understood what it was to have trials and challenges come against him, it would have to be Apostle Paul. Obviously Jesus, but we're talking about Paul today. He was a man who realized that no matter what came against him, that if he kept his eyes on Jesus and his faith deeply rooted in him, he could overcome and he could walk through any trial. The more we understand who Jesus is, the easier it will be for us to live our life. Over the last few months, actually, we've been doing a series on Jesus Is. And I'm going to be continuing that today. And the title is Jesus Is Joy. Jesus is my joy. And so I pray that your heart is open to receive the word of God, because I know God wants to speak into your very being. Maybe as I speak, there will be another voice that you will hear. I believe it's the Spirit of the Holy Spirit speaking life, speaking strength, speaking direction into your life. In Paul's words, in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 8, it says, "We often suffer, but we are never crushed. Even when we don't know what to do, we never give up." Say that, never give up. Never give up. What happened to Paul? It's numerous things, just a few of them. He was beaten with rods. He was put in prison. His feet were in stocks. So you can imagine he couldn't move. He was stuck in this one place. He was stoned with rocks, not with drugs. He was murder. People plotted his murder. He was bound. He was put in prison again. Yet he never lost his joy. Notice I didn't say happiness. We so can think that it's happiness. Oh, happiness. No, joy. We're talking about joy. They have two very different things. Maybe you've never been in a physical prison, but you feel like you are in a prison. The dictionary says that a prison is a place of confinement, an involuntary restraint. It's not somewhere where you want to be. Maybe you're in a marriage that you feel like is a prison to you. There's no tenderness or love. There's no warmth or affection. And you feel like that you are locked in with no escape. You've lost hope of things ever being good again. Maybe your prison is a broken relationship with your children. And I'm sure with this amount of people, there are families that are estranged from their children. Mums that are not in good relationship with their children, your heart's breaking. There's nothing you've done. You're thinking, what have I done wrong? Why did I do to deserve this? And you feel like you're entrapped. You're confined. You're in a prison. Maybe your prison came in the form of a doctor's report. The doctor said, this is terminal. There's nothing we can do. And you're petrified, you're scared, and that you think there is no hope. There's no life here. It could be your prison is being single. You want to be married. You want to know what it's like to be loved by another person. Married people say to you, but it's better to be single and happy than married and miserable. I've said that myself. But the reality is, when you're single and you want to be married, It doesn't matter what married people say. You want to experience the joy of marriage. And it can become consuming. It can become confining. Maybe your prison is a battle in your mind, dealing with anxiety or depression. Very real and binding things that can hold you captive. And you feel like all hope is gone. You're in a tunnel, but there's no light at the end of this tunnel. And you feel like you are entrapped. Maybe your prison comes in the form of a little plastic card, a credit card, that is maxed out. You can't pay your home loan or your car loan, and you're stressed, and you're thinking, how can I ever get out of this confinement? How can I ever break free of this prison of debt? If we go back to Paul, we discover what he had found, that Jesus was the source of all joy, and he was able to live in joy. Even though he went through challenges, even though he went through difficult times, he was able to live in joy. Again, I say, joy, not happiness. Happiness is dependent on circumstances. If everything is going well, if things go according to our plan and what we want, we're happy. Ah, wonderful. But soon as things change to the negative, we lose our happiness. But it does not mean we have to lose our joy. Is that right? Yes. Paul in Philippians has understood that even though things may not look good, he was in prison, he was mistreated, he was lied about, but he made the most of his time while he was in prison. While he was in prison, he allowed his life to shine bright for Jesus. And the reality is, we can do the same. In our pain, in our trial, we can shine the light of Jesus. By the way we journey through our difficult time, the way we journey through our prison experience. I know many people in this church that have received not so good reports, that are journeying through things that there's not necessarily a good outcome. Some of the people were on stage this morning. They haven't been given a good report. But yet, while they're journeying through, they make the decision, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my salvation. There is something about that. They are so, people like that are so good to be around. Because it bubbles up. It's not, they're not talking about all their needs. And sometimes you need to unburden. I understand that. But they have understood it's not external things. It's internal things that are important. In Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 it says, don't be dejected and sad. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I want you to say it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I want you to say it again. Some of you need to be quoting that scripture. You need to put it up all around your house and begin to declare that and speak that over your life. So what does it mean for the joy of the Lord to be our strength? It means we've asked Jesus into our life. Jesus is in our heart. You have joy. It's already there. You have to begin to dig it out. You need to begin to have your life deeply rooted in Jesus and His Word. A supernatural strength. It's like all hell's breaking loose against you. And yet, supernatural strength, supernatural joy begins to well up. It is a natural byproduct, joy, of your relationship with Jesus. Who used to go to Sunday school? Not kids' church, I'm talking Sunday school. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Where? Joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Oh, well done. Give yourselves a clap. Some of you are thinking, what was that? Can I say, we thought that was a funny, ditty little kid song. It's not. That is a faith statement. Some of you need to learn that song. I've got a few people here who can teach it to you. I've got the joy, 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 joy. It's down in my heart and it's here to stay. And that becomes a faith statement. It's no matter what comes against me, I've got joy. That's a stance. It's like, I'm not giving this away for anything. I've got it. I've got it in my heart because I've got Jesus in my heart. Amen? Amen. It's a declaration. It's understanding where our joy comes from. Happiness is external. Joy is internal. Happiness is dependent on our circumstances being right. But joy is a heart and faith attitude, regardless of what's going on around you. Happiness is changeable, but joy is a decision that I make no matter what. I will not let go of my joy. I was talking with Alyssa and I said, I have made a decision. I will not let go of my joy. We're talking about a particular situation. It's like, I will not. I will not allow anyone or anything to steal my joy. That's my option. That's our option. We have an option. It is a choice. I actually read a tweet note from Rick Warren last night. He lost his son about 6 weeks ago. He says, joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. He's a man. He's lost his son. The man on the screen that you saw lost his son and his father within 10 months. He made a decision. He had a choice to keep his joy. Have you lost something only to find that you had it all the time? I had an example. I was going to put myself in this, but then my husband gave me a brilliant example, and I've been given permission for this. My husband misplaces his phones, a phone and his keys on a regular basis. And just on, I think it was Wednesday, he couldn't find his phone. I don't run around after him. I let him go and have a good look, a really, really good look first. So he went looking to all the usual places where he would put it. And eventually he says, Lois, would you mind phoning my phone? So, which I did. Ding, 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 ding. I started to ring. Guess where it was? In his pocket. He had it all the time. That is just what joy is like. You have it. If you have Jesus, you have it. You have the joy of the Lord inside of you. You just need to learn to pull it up. We can desperately be looking for outside sources for your joy when you have joy always inside of you. So let's look at Paul. He's a prisoner. He's been taken by ship from Rome taken to Rome to be put on trial. And so let's look in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, verses 13 to 19. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it. So they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. So everything was wonderful. Sun was shining, the birds were tweeting, and off they go. It's perfect weather. But then he says, but the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength called a northeaster burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. It says, they gave in to the wind which swept along, and they were swept along wherever the wind took them. That can sound like us sometimes. Got no fight left in us. Out of nowhere, a wind comes along and takes us, saps us of our energy, feeling despair and confusion. It says in verse 18 and 19, it says, the next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. We can do that in our time of storm. begin to throw overboard the things that we once held valuable and precious. Our morals and belief system. We can throw it overboard. Like, God, you haven't answered my prayer. This is too tough. Everyone else is doing. We just throw our belief system overboard. We throw our trust in God. Our confidence we can throw away. A confidence that God is in control. No matter whether the storm is raging around, we can think, God, where are you? You've left me. And we can throw it away when we're being tested. We can become disappointed with God because he didn't answer our prayers the way we wanted him to. We can feel that all hope is gone, that it's permanent. And there's no outlook of good things to come. And despair sets in. My heart can never be made whole again. I can never trust again. I can never dream again. But I've got good news for you today. You want good news? Yes. God is in the business of turning storms into joy. Amen? Amen? He is in the business of turning storms into joy. I want you to repeat that. God is in the business of turning storms into joy. I want you to say that to the person next to you. Amen. That was all I asked you to say. I didn't ask you to have a little conversation about it. You can talk at the end of service. It's fantastic. So what's some things we can learn about storms? When we understand that Jesus is joy. Jesus is my joy. Amen? Storms are unpredictable. Have you noticed that storms usually come at the worst time? Yeah? Sailing along, you can do everything right. You can be right in the very center of God's will. And yet, stuff happens. Storms come. Storms are impartial. We can ask, why me? Why did this happen to me? Well, should it happen to the person next to you? Should it happen to them? Bad stuff happens to good people and to not so good people. And we like to have, as Christians, we like to have this little formula, you know, as to why things happen. Well, you know, did I sin? Did I speak bad about someone? Was I stingy in my giving? We like to have everything worked out. But sometimes stuff just happens because of when sin entered the world. Number three, storms are temporary. But when you're in a storm, you can think that it goes forever. That we're going through a storm and there is no way out. There is no way of ever getting through this difficult time. But God is in the business of turning storms into joy. Amen? A beautiful promise in Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. And some of you may need to get this, and you need to carry it around. You need to memorize God's word. When you go through deep waters, his promise is, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, he says, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burnt up. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That is his promise to you. And there may be some that are going through. You're in a storm at the moment. That is God's promise to you, that you will not be burned. You will not be drowned. You will not be consumed with everything that is coming against you. That is God's promise for you. Hang in there and don't lose your joy. So after the shipwreck, Paul is again taken into prison and he is put in chains. Now, because of Paul, there was not one person on that ship that perished. He could have said, but why me? What have I done wrong? I was the reason. God, you used me to speak health and life, and I've been your witness. I've been preaching your gospel. Why me? But we don't actually see him doing that. Instead, he used his chains to talk about the freedom that we can have in Christ Jesus. He talked about his imprisonment, that we can have Jesus setting us free. He used his hardship to point people to Jesus. How are you doing at pointing people to Jesus while you're in your hardship, while you're in your trial, while you're in your storm, while you're going through your prison experience? We have an opportunity when things are going well to dig deep, deep down in our heart is joy. So when a bad report, a negative word, an unmet expectation, a situation that is beyond our control, we begin to sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where is it? Yes, and it's there too. Stay. That's when we're pulling it up, no matter what. No matter what the doctor says, it's not over till Almighty God says it's over. No matter what it is, whatever it is that is your prison, that it's not finished until God says it's finished. And so as we're walking through, we hold our head up. As Kay said, hold our head up to the sun, S-O-N, and allow him to pour his strength upon us. We need to get better at declaring that and speaking that over our life. You've heard the story of the man with the farmer with the donkey. He was fed up with this donkey, and so he wanted to get rid of it, but he didn't want to kill it. So he thought, well, what I'll do is I'll throw it in a disused well. So he did that. And he called all his neighbors and said, look, any rubbish you've got, any dirt, bring it over and we'll just throw it in on top of the donkey. But the little old donkey down in the well, he says, well, I've still got a few good years left in me yet. I'm not ready to die. So at that point, he made a decision. So whenever rubbish was thrown in, any dirt was thrown in, he would shake it off and he'd stomp on it. Week after week, month after month, rubbish, dirt, shake it off, stomp on it. What was meant to destroy him became an opportunity for him to rise above. And with each stomping on the dirt, he got closer and closer to the top. Until one day, the rubbish came in, shook it off. He stepped and he stepped out of that well and he went on to live a happy, healthy donkey life. What had confined him no longer held him captive. What the enemy has tried to bury you with can be the very thing that God will use to bless you and to lift you up. We need to get good at shaking off the stuff that the enemy would try to hold us captive with. Amen? The donkey had a part to play. He could have stood down there in the bottom. It was a disused well, by the way. It didn't have any water in it. He could have been down there and said, oh, poor me. My life is over. Look at me. Bah. I don't know whatever the donkey does. That's a sheep, isn't it? Just go along with me, okay? He's got an identity crisis. Maybe that's why the farmer got rid of him. He didn't know what he was. Yeah, and it's like he could have sat down there and said, woe is me. But he made a decision, no matter what rubbish come against him, that he would rise above it. And we need to be like that ourselves. When stuff comes, when it's thrown at us, we might get knocked a little bit, about a little bit, and there's no, I know what this is. This is a storm that's trying to rob me of my joy, and I will not let it go, because it's down deep, and it's down secure. Amen? Amen. We need to make sure that we don't get dry and parched, that we stay fresh in God and we keep our joy. Some obvious things, reading the Word of God. It's obvious that that's going to bring strength into our life. I heard of a man who had memorized scripture when he was at a camp. And I think it was something like 15 years later, he found himself with giving a terminal diagnosis that he would not live. He's on the hospital bed, emergency. He'd had a heart attack, and he was only in his early 20s. And he remembered the scripture that he had learnt all those years ago at a kids' camp. And he began to speak that. The words of life began to flow out of him. And he is now a minister of the gospel. Amazing what happens when you get the Word of God. You think, oh, I don't understand it. I don't know it all. Just keep reading. Keep memorizing, getting the Word of God. Through prayer, talking to God, just having a normal conversation. He's interested in the little things and the big things. He wants you to talk with Him. He wants to have a relationship with you. In speaking in tongues, we're Pentecostals. You know, speak in tongues. Sometimes you don't know what to say in English, but there is that divine connection with your heart to the Father's heart when we speak in tongues. And then there's worship. Worship isn't about us, it's about Him. It's our focus and our attention goes on Him. And the Bible, and I think of that old song, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Begin to look up, look into His face, allow Him to pour His life into you. So obviously there's some things that you can do to make sure that you don't become dry and parched and lose your joy. But some other things is stop focusing on the past. When I drive, I think I'm a reasonably good driver. And maybe I'm the only one here that drives like this, but I want to go that direction. So I put my car, look, get my mirrors all adjusted, put my car in drive, and I look in my rearview mirror and drive like that. Is that right? No, I look through the front. But what would happen if I drove my car forward looking in my rearview mirror? There'd be an accident, wouldn't there, if there's somebody in front of me? I'd either end up in another lane, I'd sideswipe a car, or I'd smash into the front of another car. We say, that's a silly illustration. Of course you don't drive like that. But can I say, we live our lives like that. Living with past regrets, always looking at the disappointments, the words that have been spoken, the hurt that has been done, the injustice that has been done against us. We spend our time looking there instead of looking straight ahead. Forgiving and forgetting, keeping our eyes on the prize, keeping our focus on Jesus Christ. So we need to learn to forget, stop focusing on our past, not living there. Because the one who is joy puts broken things back together again. Amen. And He has a bright future for you. Number two, we can begin to discover new opportunities. I heard of the story of a farmer. He had a lemon tree and he said to some kids, look, you can have those lemons. Do what you want with them. The kids, lemons? Who wants them? They're sour and bitter. What are we going to do with them? But one entrepreneurial little boy says, we can turn those lemons into lemonade and we can make some money. Amazing. Things that are bitter, things that have potential to be sour and ruin your life, can in the hands of Jesus be made into something beautiful. Amen. When we invest into other people's lives, when we don't hide away, when we allow even in our storms, even in our difficult times, just as Paul did, his life is of strength to us even today after all these years, that we are able to find encouragement through the trials that he went through. The reality is your life is speaking volumes, unless you live in a little box and just come out on Sunday. Your life is speaking volumes. What is it speaking? In your storm, what is it saying to other people? The reality is God can turn bad things around and make them good. We've got a little hum here. Thank you. Psalm 30, verse 11, it says, "You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy." So we need to be mindful that we don't spend all our attention on the external, but begin to dig deep. Dig deep into the well of joy that is in our life and then allow it to bubble up out of our life. I was reading somewhere just last week, a child laughs on average 150 times a day. Do you want to know how many times an adult laughs? A little bit more. 6. We need to get some joy in our life. We need to have it bubbling up in our heart, in our spirit. And then when stuff comes, it's like, it's not taking me out, because I've got the joy of the Lord in my heart. Happiness can come and go with one doctor's report. Despair and despondency are powerful things, and I don't in any way make light of them. But I know the Word of God. I know the strength and the power of God in our life, of Jesus taking Him into our heart fully and saying, "Jesus, You are joy. Jesus, You are my joy," because that's who He is. And saying, "Even though the storm may come against me, I will rejoice." And I thought of that scripture in Habakkuk. I'm a farmer's daughter, so I really relate to this. But this is a farmer. In farming terms, it's spoken. Habakkuk 3:17-18. "Though the cherry tree doesn't blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat fields stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns empty, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God. Counting on God's rule to prevail, I take heart and gain strength." Isn't that beautiful? What a beautiful promise that no matter for a farmer to have no animals, to have no crops, that's devastating. But it's yet will I rejoice in the Lord. It's not external things that we are reliant on for our joy. It's internal for our happiness. Amen? Our joy is not dependent on what happens, but what Christ has done in us. So let it be our confession. Jesus is my joy. Let it be our prayer. Jesus is my joy. Let it be our life. Jesus is my joy. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you that you make a way for us. When there seems no way, when it seems like all hell has come against us, that you are there. You are there in our storm. You are there when we're in our prison. And you hold us. You carry us. You guide us. You protect us. And I thank you, Jesus, that you've made a way, that you are joy. You've shown us. You have shown us ultimately how to do life. And I pray today, even for those that are going through a tough time, that are really in a, feel like the eye of the storm, where they've just gone through some incredible stuff, but they know there's more to come, that, Lord, you will be their peace, their perfect peace. They'll dig deep at the joy that you have for their life in your mighty name, in your mighty name. Jesus, Jesus, I want you to lift your hands right where you're sitting. Lift your hands. Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. For more information about Northside Christian Church, please visit northsidecc.org.au.